The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Allow me to read the words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Amen. God said to David, "He's a man after my heart." And David valued being under God's protection more than anything else. So David confessed the following in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." When watching TV shows like Predators, you sometimes see several animals crossing a small river. I am often surprised to see the swimming skills of animals. Although they do not have webbed feet like frog, geese, or ducks, they are quite good at crossing rivers. Even though the current of the river seems to be quite strong, zebras and gazelles are not afraid and jump into the river to cross it. And when they're thirsty, they drink water from the river. However, it is said that sheep do not know how to swim. It is said that when a sheep falls into water, its wool acts like a sponge and pulls the sheep's body into the water. So sheep have a fear of running water and cannot drink from running water even when they are thirsty. Shepherds had three ways to provide water for their sheep. First was to let them graze on dew-soaked grass early in the morning. Second was to dig a well or draw water from a reservoir and provide it to them. Third was to block a gently flowing stream with a stone to make the water stop flowing and make it like a puddle for the sheep. The third method was used the most, and David also confessed that God leads him to still waters. The original meaning of still water is water that does not flow. In the NIV English Bible, it is translated as quiet waters. And in the King James Version, it is translated as still waters. Just as David, as a shepherd, blocked a stream with a stone to make it still water to feed his sheep, he confesses that God protected him from the things that scared him. Therefore, David was able to not fear harm, even in the valley of death, and was able to cross the rivers with the help of the Lord's staff. David's confession continues. This is Psalm 23, verses 5 to 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you quietly meditate on these words, this is what you will picture. David was running away after being chased by his enemies, but was in a situation where he could no longer run. And so he was exhausted and thought he was as good as dead. So he closed his eyes, but as time passed, nothing happened. So he opened his eyes and saw that God's protective shield was surrounding and protecting him. Also, a banquet table is set before David, and God is pouring oil on David's head as proof that he is being welcomed as the best guest. Beyond God's shield, the enemies are ready to kill David, but they can no longer approach because of God's shield. What David realized at that time was that he always thought worry, anxiety, suffering, and pain, and the shadow of death were following him around. But what followed him closer was the goodness and kindness of God. That is why he decided he would also dwell in God's house. God's goodness and kindness is what made David, David. We also have the same concerns as well as hardships and pain. There are also things that weigh us down in our lives. Among these things, there are things that make us think that we would be happy if only that one thing was absent from our lives, but they do not disappear. But the protective shield of God, who protects us and embraces us, is closer to us than anything else. Today's passage also says that there is someone who embraces us. There are three reasons why God chose us before the creation of the world. Firstly, to give us all the blessings in Christ and all spiritual blessings in heaven. Secondly, to enable us to live a holy life, a life set apart and without blame before God. And thirdly, to make us his children. The fact, these are all great reasons that we can hardly accept. Verse 6 of today's passage tells us how this could have happened. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The fact that we are adopted as children of God and became able to inherit everything that belongs to God was accomplished in the one whom he loves and freely. The meaning of freely is God saw the eternal loss of giving up his son even though we did not pay anything in return. And the one whom he loves refers to Jesus Christ. Paul continued to use Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, and Christ. These are verses 1 through 5 of today's passage. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the Lord to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In just these five verses, Jesus Christ appears seven times. This emphasizes that everything that has happened to us has happened in Jesus Christ and could never happen outside of Jesus Christ. So why did Apostle Paul use Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 5, but then suddenly change it to beloved in verse 6? I wonder if this was to avoid repetition, since Jesus Christ was used repeatedly before, but probably not. In the verses 7 to 14 that follow, the term in Christ appears again and yet again. Therefore, it is unlikely that he wrote in the one he loves simply to avoid repetition. Paul intentionally did not use the words in Jesus Christ or in Christ, but chose to use the words in the one he loves. In other words, God chose us before the world was even created to make us recipients of all the blessings in Christ Jesus and all spiritual blessings in heaven, and to live with the goal of being holy and without blame and to become children of God. Our dwelling and amazing grace began, is ongoing, and will be completed in the one he loves. In many places in the Bible, Jesus is described as the one he loves. This is Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In Korea, due to the influence of Confucianism, father and son have a concept of hierarchy. However, in Israel, it is a concept of equality, just as a rabbit's cub is a rabbit and a fox's cub is a fox. The son of man is a man, and the son of God is God. The reason God called Jesus my son whom I love is because Jesus is equal to God and God is love. This is Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." My son, whom I love, is considered a proper noun belonging to Jesus, since God is the essence of love and love itself. His relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, who has the same essence as him, is also love. The Bible also says that the one whom God loves saves us. Perhaps the most important and well-known verse in the New Testament is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. To put this in other words, all people without exception were destined to perish and could by no means enjoy eternal life. But God loved the people of this world and gave them eternal life through Jesus Christ, the one he loves, his only begotten Son. What is important in this verse is God gave his only begotten Son. If the words had said, "For God so loved the world that he told them to come to him so that whoever comes to God may not perish but have eternal life," what would have happened to us humans? There is a part in the poem "How Much Further Until Longing" by poet Kim Jae-jin. The door closes and the car drives away. Left in the dust, I think about the past. How much further until I feel longing? How much further until I meet a world where people touch each other's hearts and make them bright? Also in 2016, Bob Dylan, an American folk singer-songwriter, a writer and also a painter, received the Nobel Prize in literature for the lyrics of the song "Blowing in the Wind." The lyrics of the first part of the song are as follows. "How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?" Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? If God told us to come to him, and if we could be saved only by going to God, how many paths and how far would we have to go before we could meet God? And which path should we have taken? And how could we have met God? Who could tell us the answer? Could the wind tell us? Or could we figure it out by ourselves? God made us his children and revealed the answer to us in order to give us eternal life. Actually, he sent us the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ, the one whom God loves and who is equal to God. And because God has made his children through has made us his children through the one he loves, we have now become people loved by God. This is John chapter 17, verse 23. "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus is making us perfect so that the world will know that God loves us just as He loves Jesus. It is so surprising that I wonder, why does He elevate us to this extent? You can tell the scale of a task by looking at what kind of people are sent to accomplish it. If a very large company wants to sign a $1 million or multi-$1 million deal, the manager of the division in the company would be in charge. But if it were a $1 billion or several $1 billion deal, the best people in the company would probably attend to sign the contract, including the CEO of the company. Also, what would happen if the President of the United States or the President of China made a state visit to our country but had a director of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs go to the airport to meet them? They would probably fly back to their home country directly on the plane they took when they came to Korea. And if the President of Korea made a state visit to the United States or China, and the person who came to meet him at the airport was a low-ranking official of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or if no one came to meet him at the airport. Moreover, if the place of hospitality were not the White House or Zhongnanhai, where the presidential office is located, but a place like a village hall on the coast, the people of our country would feel a deep sense of shame. The fact that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to bless us, sanctify us, and make us children of God elevates us to that extent. Because of the one God loves, we have also become the ones God loves. And also, the reason we become those whom God loves is for us to resemble Him. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Just as God the Father is perfect, He tells us to become perfect. This does not mean that we must become the same as God. We could never be like that. And if we could be, the God we believe in would not be the Creator. As I said last week, God telling us to be perfect and complete refers to perfection and wholeness without any grounds for disqualification when offering a sacrifice. We must resemble God and become true children of God and true citizens of the kingdom of God. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are those whom the Lord loves. The Lord wants us to live a holy life, a life that is set apart, and to practice the truth as a saved people. Because that is the way to make the best of our lives. A Western proverb that has a similar meaning to the Korean proverb, if your wife is beautiful, bow to the stake of your wife's house, is love me, love my dog. If you love me, love my dog too, it means. If there's a person I hate, I automatically hate that the dog that the person keeps as well. If it is an ordinary dog breed, you will think they must be raising something like themselves. If it is a very good-looking dog breed, you'll think, do they think it looks good to keep a dog that looks expensive? Of course, we would like a dog that belongs to someone that we like. Since Christ is God's beloved, He also loves us who are like dogs. There is a saying, that day defines this day. A bride and groom with 3 to 5 months left until their wedding will have their lives geared towards that day. In order to enter the wedding hall looking as healthy as possible, they would work out and go on a diet to fit into the prepared wedding suit and dress. Moreover, they will think about how much money they are spending now to be able to support their family in the future. And when purchasing something, they will think about whether they need it only before marriage or afterward as well. Of course, you can eat whatever you want, even a few months before the wedding, even if the groom's clothes look like they're going to explode because he gained weight, or even if he wears clothes that have actually burst open, it doesn't mean he can't have his wedding. Also, if the bride's dress is wrinkled or dirty, it doesn't mean she can't enter the wedding. However, the bride and groom will try to attend the wedding wearing the cleanest suit and dress, and in the best shape for the clothes that they have prepared. No bride or groom rolls on the muddy floor or intentionally gets dirty just because their suit and dresses are so clean and white. Pure suits and dresses are the joy and glory of the bride and groom. If we believe that we also have become people whom God loves by making us His children through Jesus Christ, the one whom God loves forever, then there will be a time when each of us will stand before God after we breathe our last breath on this earth. Let us acknowledge this. And let us walk toward a life of distinction and flawlessness from the place of our lives that God has given to us. In order to live such lives more faithfully, let us each open our windows wide to God. If we walk in God's love as people loved by God, as time passes, the image of the Lord will appear more clearly in our lives. Let us pray. to give us all the blessings in Christ and all spiritual blessings in heaven. You chose us before the world was created and are making us live a holy and blameless life before you. And you accepted us as your children. We thank you for letting us know and reminding us that all this has taken place in the one whom you love. If we believe that you made us who are children of disobedience and wrath, your children, and that you have made us those whom you love in the one you love, let us live lives live lives fittingly, just as the bride and groom before their wedding live for that day. Let us not forget that there will be a day when we breathe our last breath on this earth. So as time passes, let us resemble Jesus Christ, the one whom you love. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.